Hi, Sunrise Church. This is Pastor Moises Bejarano, and we're so excited you're here with us today.
And I'm Pastor Carlo Mendoza. Today, we continue in our teaching series, Waiting Well. Pastor Joel kicked us off with meaning in the waiting, allowing us to understand that there's a purpose in that. And then Pastors Josh and David encouraged us to worship in the waiting as we honor God in every aspect of our lives as we wait.
And finally, last week, Pastor John and Pastor Anthony taught us on preparing in the waiting. But today we're going to finalize our series titled Waiting Well with the message Yielding in the Waiting. And Carlos, is there a moment in your life where you had to yield in the waiting?
Yeah, definitely. I remember a hard time in my life when my mom, and I've shared this story in the past, but it's been a while, but she died from a degenerative disease known as PLS, or primary lateral sclerosis.
That's an ice bucket challenge, right?
Right, so yeah, this is a form of ALS, better known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's a prolonged form of that. So in both cases, it affects the motor neurons and it leaves a person physically debilitated. And as the primary caregiver for my mom, I just watched her suffer through this, and as a family, we waited to see what God would do. And in that, we yielded time and time again to God, because the reality is we had no control whatsoever.
Carlos, thank you for sharing that brief story about your experience with your mom. And we know we're gonna be talking more about this in the message. That's what we're talking about today, yielding in the waiting.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 27:14. You know, if given the choice, very few of us would choose to wait. Most of us hate to wait. And one of the reasons why is because that decision is usually made for us. You see, whenever we wait, we face a painful reminder that we are not in control. We cannot speed time, we cannot force outcomes, we cannot change people. What we can do, however, is relinquish control to the only one who actually has it in the first place. This is how we practice yielding in the waiting. All of us wait, but are we waiting well?
Nobody likes to wait. You can ask my kids and they'll tell you waiting is the worst. It's not a pleasant experience, no matter how old you are, and no matter what you're waiting for. In our culture, we've even tried to eliminate waiting altogether in every aspect, right? If it's food, we got fast food. We have microwaves. If it's shopping, we have one day delivery. Even in traveling, we've cut that time down considerably.
That is so true what you just said. You know, I remember many times when I'm in the drive-thru asking, ordering food, and if they take a minute, I'm going like, why are you taking so long? But also in traveling, you mentioned, you know, before it would take a month to get from one part of the globe to the other. Now in 12 hours, you could be in China from LAX.
Right, and so, you know, instead of watching your clock, you're watching a calendar, right? So we've come a long way. But, you know, today we're talking about yielding in the waiting. And just to put it out there, yielding isn't a word we tend to use every day, right? For you folks out there, what first comes to mind when you think of the word yield? Moises, what do you think of?
It's funny because when I think about the word yield, I think about a big traffic sign. You know, the ones where you get in into interception and it says yield, and you're like, oh, wait, I have to stop in case a car is coming and let them go through. That's what I think about.
Yeah, it's that yellow triangle, right?
Exactly.
I think most of us are familiar with that, and that pretty much sums up the idea of yielding, right? That you're not necessarily in park. You're still in drive and you're waiting to move forward. It's just that as you do so, timing has to be a factor and other people have to be considered. And in this case, God. And so when we yield in the waiting, it's not necessarily completely stopping, but again, just waiting for that opportunity. But even in that, there can be a tension in yielding, because some people might think, if I'm waiting, am I automatically yielding, or should I be doing something? What does that look like? And so, Moises, can you explain a little bit about what the difference is?
About the tension,
yeah.
Of course. You know, I think that's powerful, what you're saying, that there's a tension in acting and yielding, and there's a perfect Bible verse that speaks about this. And you'll find this in Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And this is such an important psalm, because you might read this and you're saying, oh, okay, I don't have to do anything. I just need to wait on God and let him do his thing. But I don't have to move. I don't have to pray. I don't have to see his face. I don't have to make good financial choices. I don't have to choose what I eat. I mean, it's interesting, because sometimes we could really misunderstand this psalm.
Yeah, and I've heard of others misappropriate this verse, and maybe it's caused some confusion for those who may be watching. And so Moises, help us better understand the be still part.
So let's talk about this for a minute. Because being still and acting is when you talk about being still in God, it means that you're going to be acting in God. So there's a verse in the Bible that is found in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 14, okay, verses 14 and verse 15, that will help us understand better this tension. So, for example, in Exodus chapter 14, you find Moses and the people of Israel who just flee Egypt, and they have the Pharaoh and the whole entire Egyptian army ready to kill them.
Right.
That's what they're coming for. They're coming to just take them back to Egypt or just kill them. And Moses looks into the people and he says to them the following. Look at what he says in verse 14 of Exodus 14. "The Lord will fight for you." And this is a powerful statement, Carlo. "And all you have to do is keep still." So I could read that verse, just mm-hmm. like I read Psalm 46, and says, I don't have to do anything. But then, this is what Moses says to the people. But then when he goes to God, and he's praying to God, and he's talking to God, in verse 15, God speaks to Moses. And look what God said to Moses. "The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out for help? Tell the people to move forward."
Wow. So when God tells us to be still, it's not being stationary. It's not sitting on our hands. It's not taking a Sunday nap. Which
definitely is not about a Sunday nap. It's definitely not about being stationary.
Some people might be upset about that because they were looking forward to doing that.
But so if you want to have your Sunday nap, go ahead, do it. We're not saying you shouldn't do that. But the thing is this. The thing is that we see Moses telling the people, hey, be still and just don't do anything about it. And when he goes to God, God says to him, no, you need to move forward. I already told you what to do. So being still in God is literally knowing the purpose of God and moving in that purpose. If that is requiring to spend time in prayer and trusting God's promises, then that is acting. So being still in God is not just being passive.
I see.
It's acting in his presence and seeking his face.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
So now that brings us to our first point. And I think this is really important. Yielding in the waiting, listen to this, is acting in obedience to God. Yielding in the waiting is acting in obedience to God. And the verse that we picked to talk about yielding and the waiting, we found that in the book of Luke chapter 22. And it's the story of Jesus. You know, he goes to the Gethsemane, he goes to pray, he's with his disciples, he's about to be betrayed by Judas. Right. So if you're not familiar with the story, that's found in the New Testament in the book of Luke. And we see Jesus in his last moment, before he's about to die, before he's about to betray, and he makes a powerful prayer of yielding. It's an incredible prayer. Look at what it says in verse 42 of chapter 22 of Luke. This is Jesus praying. "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done."
Wow, that sounds like it wasn't an ordinary day, that was a very troubling time. And this cup, right, he's not talking about some beverage. This is symbolic of God's wrath and God's judgment on sin that he is willing to take on.
Right, because Jesus is about to take our sins on him as he's going to the cross. And the prayer that he's making to the Father is a yielding prayer. Basically, we see Jesus saying to the Father, I don't want to do my will. I'm in a human form. Yes, Jesus is God, we know that, but he became flesh, and he's in the flesh, and he's praying, I want you to do your will. I'm going to yield my will so your will be done for the sake of all, for the bigger picture. But then this account that we just read, you also find it in Matthew chapter 26, which is in the New Testament, and also in Mark chapter 14, which is also in the New Testament. And both accounts in Mark and Luke tells us that Jesus was sorrowful to the point of death.
That's really heavy. Yeah.
It's difficult. I want you to think about this. Jesus knew what he was about to confront. He knew that he was about to be betrayed. He knew the public humiliation he was going to face. And he knew that as a Jewish man that was doing miracles, the Son of God, or God himself who became flesh, that we know as the Son of God, that was healing people, mm-hmm. casting out demons, doing amazing work. Now he's hanging from a piece of wood. And the Bible says in the Old Testament that anyone who hanged from a piece of wood was cursed by God. So the same people that perhaps was healed by him was now a judge and says, isn't that Jesus, the one that healed us, and he's now cursed by God? So there's so much that this text brings into equation.
And even the culture of that day was a shame and honor culture, right?
So exactly. And he was a Jewish man who was basically stripped of his clothes, and he was hand naked. So his family was going to have to deal with this for generations to come. So Jesus knows he's about to confront this, and yet he's asking for the Father's will. So he's not saying, hey, you know what? I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to hear anything else. You know, this is definitely not an easy prayer to make, especially, Carlo, when you know you're going to die.
Definitely. Yeah, that is something that just makes this even more impressive and makes me want to just worship Jesus.
And I'm going to be very honest. If I was Jesus and I was in that moment, I'd probably pray, you know what, Lord? I'm tired of this. I want to handle this. Why do I need to die for these people? They don't deserve my death. I mean, they're ungrateful. No. Or I would pray like, this is too much. Please look for somebody else. I'm done with this.
Yeah, you know, I've definitely prayed something similar to trying to avoid, you know, all uncomfort at all cost. And I believe many out there would be tempted to take the easy way out instead of yielding to God's plan.
So maybe you're watching us right now, and here's the question I want to ask you. How is your prayer in the waiting? How are you yielding to the bigger purpose of God? And how difficult is to understand this concept? Because we know this is a difficult concept to understand. So here's the thing. Our highest calling is to be obedient to God. God has called you, and he has called me. He has called us to obey him. And being obedient to God is being faithful to his calling. And this is very important. So when you think about obedience, is that you understand what God has told you to do and you decide to be faithful to what he's telling you to do. So in order for us to be faithful and therefore be obedient, we must yield our will to the will of the Father, to the will of God, to what is it that God wants us to do. And let's think about this, Carlo, for a minute. Jesus was preparing himself for 33 years.
Sure, yeah.
You know, for 33 years, you know, he went through the whole process. 3 years later, before his death, he went in to do ministry. He gathered many disciples. He trained them. He did everything he was supposed to do. And finally, the moment of faithfulness to his death has come. And what did he do? This is what he does. He yields his will to the will of the Father for the greater purpose of salvation for you and I. And one powerful point here, Carlos, that I must bring is that Jesus, when he asks you and I to yield, he's not asking you to do something he hasn't done for you already. And this is powerful because he yielded his own life so you and I could have life. So what Jesus is asking me and you and everyone who's watching us, when we need to yield in his will, is something that he already did for us. So I can go to Jesus and says, you don't understand what this means. No, he knows, and he knows better than me, because I will never be crucified the way he was crucified, Carlo.
You know, that reminds me of Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. It says, who being in very nature God, this is Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And oftentimes, it would appear that doing the right thing is doing the hard thing. And that's an understatement, especially in this case. But I can't, again, help but think of our viewers that they are saying, you know what, I agree, but I just can't wait any longer. I just can't do it. To that, I would say I agree with you 100%. You can't do it. You can't do it alone, that is. You need Jesus. You need God's help. And think about this. The next point that we want to bring is yielding in the waiting is gaining the help of God.
Oh, that's so important.
Yeah, let me repeat that. Yielding in the waiting is actually gaining the help of God. All right, and so yielding, which is synonymous with surrender, that word can have negative connotations in our society, right? You think about waving the white flag of surrender, you know, soldiers putting down their weapons, fighters tapping out of a submission hold, right? And so people can say, I don't want to yield. I don't want to give up in that sense or give in. But Jesus, in his humanity, he needed help, right? He even enlisted his best buds, right? He asked his disciples to come with him. If we look at Mark 14, which is a parallel account, in verse 33, it says he took Peter, James, and John along with him, right? And as much as they wanted to help, we know that they failed miserably. As we look at those references in Matthew and Mark's account, that Jesus went and prayed this three times, and on all three occasions, he returned to find his best friends fast asleep. And so not only was Jesus looking for a support system, but he turned to God in his time of need in order to yield. And he received God's supernatural power to yield to his Father. And so Jesus needed supernatural strength, and so do we, Moises.
And that's the reason why, and this is very important, we must understand why we have small groups at church. And that's why we have the church. We need that strength. We need that moment, especially when we need to yield in a moment that we might not want to be yielding, Carlo.
Yeah, and look what it says in Luke 22:43. It says, an angel from heaven appeared to him, that's again Jesus, and strengthened him, right? In fact, this was such a stressful situation that Jesus was awaiting this excruciating death, right? The crucifixion. And Luke, who happened to be a doctor, the Bible tells us that he includes this detail in verse 44. It says, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was drops of blood falling to the ground. Moises, what do you make of that? I mean,
well, I have studied this portion many times, and I have read some medical journals about people under stress and how the blood vessels in the face, sometimes they break and they begin to sweat blood. And it normally happens with people who are under the stress of the pressure of death. So this tells us how stressful and how anguish and how difficult was the moment for Jesus.
Wow. You know, I think another reason that prevents people from yielding to God's will is they just don't see the whole story, right? The bigger picture. I mentioned this earlier about my mom who was battling that devastating disease. And, you know, I couldn't make sense of why this was happening to her, why this was happening to us as a family. And she went from being so full of life, so energetic, to having to be escorted to just to walk, to using a walker, to being in a wheelchair, to eventually being bedridden. And you know, that was hard. And even being so talkative before she got sick, to her speech slurring, to having to point to a kid's alphabet chart, to eventually having to blink just to communicate, right? And through all of that, I had to yield over and over again to God in the course of 16 to 17 years as things got progressively worse. But in the end, right, in the bigger picture, this provided an opportunity for my mom to yield her life to God and receive Jesus as her savior. In fact, I remember during her last days on earth, I was able to comfort her with God's word of the hope of heaven, that there would be no more sorrow and suffering. And in that moment, her face just lit up. And in fact, that's where I get my smile from. So, and I wouldn't know that unless God helped me see the bigger picture as I yielded to him.
You know, Carlos, thank you so much for sharing that story with us today. I think there's people who are watching us right now, and they're going through a very difficult situation with a loved one, and they're thinking, Lord, how long do I have to endure this? And you're talking about yielding in the moments of the waiting. And yes, the greater picture is what helps us understand the purpose of God, and it brings us to the third point that we want to talk to you about today, and is yielding in the waiting is trusting in the timing of God.
Say that again, Moises.
Yielding in the waiting is trusting in the timing of God. And this is powerful because when we go back into Luke chapter 22, we found that Jesus was praying to the Father. But as you continue to read in the parallel accounts of the story, it tells us that Jesus yielded to the Father his will. But guess what? His disciples fell asleep. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. And three times Jesus had to go back and wake them up. And every time he went back to pray again, he would pray the same prayer, pass this cup from me, but do your will, not my will. Right. And the story tells us that then after Jesus finished praying, then Judas came with a mob and they came to arrest Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, Peter, and we know it was Peter because one of the gospels tells us it was Peter, drew a sword and he cut off the ear of one of the guys that was coming to arrest Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 26, again, a book found in the New Testament, verses 53 and 54, this is what Jesus said to Peter. And this is an evidence of Jesus yielding his will to the Father. Look at this. Do you think I cannot call my Father and he would not at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? And he's speaking to Peter here. But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled that said it must happen in this way?
Moises, you know, you mentioned, I think this is so important. You mentioned that there was a specific moment where Jesus yielded his will to the Father, right? And that was in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed. But as you just mentioned now, this was the evidence, right? Because some people might not know, have I yielded over to God? And so Jesus, paraphrasing here, said, I can call down an army of angels and this can all go down differently, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust in God's will and his plan and in his timing. And so as we yield over to God in the waiting, whether we have options or not, because oftentimes you can't just look at someone and say, hey, you look like you just yielded to God right now, right? We just don't see that. And so what would you tell people to just help them understand that, you know what, you are yielding to God? How can we know that we're yielding in the waiting?
I will say it this way. Sometimes we want the victory without the battle. Mm. And sometimes we want the glory without the story. That's how I like to say that. Sure. So let me put it this way. Do you have options? Of course you have many options. But yielding on the waiting is not looking at the options you have, but it's looking at the option that God has given you. And that's what makes it so difficult, Carlo. Because sometimes we don't like to do what God is asking us to do. Not because it's bad, because God is never going to tell you something that is bad for you. He's always, as a matter of fact, I don't even think that God is going to tell you something good. He's always going to tell you the best for you. Wow. It's greater than good. But here's the point. As God tells us what is best for us, sometimes we don't have the bigger picture like you mentioned before. So as he knows the bigger picture, what we don't understand today, tomorrow we will get it to understand. And it will work for our advantage. So here's the thing. Before Jesus had the crown, he went to the cross.
Amen.
And that is an evidence that Jesus yielded his will as he was in a human form. He was in a human body, that he knew what punishment was going to be suffering. He was going to feel the punishment. And he just simply prayed to the Father and says, like, do your will, not my will. And maybe you're watching us home right now. Oh, you're watching us in whatever device or in your car, at work, whatever. You listen to us on the phone. Here's the thing. If you yield your will to God, you will see the reward of being in God's will. And that is a powerful, powerful thing.
Has that happened in your life? Can you share a story?
Actually, there's a story that happened to me when I was in my first seminary. And I'm one of those pastors just like him and all the other pastors at our church that like to study. And I was about 18 years old in Venezuela, in Barquisimeto, which is a city in Venezuela. And I'm doing my first seminary. And I pay my first half of the tuition. And it was expensive tuition. And as I pay, I go into the seminary, it was intern, and in half of the time that I was there, I run out of money.
Oh no!
And I had no more money, man. And I'm starting to try to work, try to do stuff, but it was just not enough money. Call some friends, call some family members, and nobody had money at the moment. And I started to pray, and I was like, Lord, what am I gonna do? And I started to panicking, actually. And I remember being led by the Spirit that told me, Moses, just pray. And trust. See, praying is acting and is yielding. So don't be confused again. Praying is not being still and doing nothing. So what happened was, Carlo, that I began to pray. And I prayed for literally like for a full afternoon. I prayed for so many hours and finally got to the point where I said to God, look, I know you call me. If you call me, you will provide. And an evidence for me that I'm called to ministry will be that you will provide to me what I need right now. So I go in the next day into the financial help office, and I go there, and the guy who's there is a friend of my family. Okay. And he looks at me, he says, look, Moises, you need to pay. And I was like, yeah, I know, man, but I don't have the money. He says, like, listen, Many years ago, when I came to seminary, your father paid for my tuition. Today, I'm returning the favor to your father, so I'm paying for your tuition.
How awesome is that?
It was just crazy, man. It was just ludicrous what happened to me that day. And I learned that yielding in the waiting means to surrender your will to God. And that is not just doing nothing. It is acting in faith and in obedience to God. So if we trust God, then we should trust his timing. If we trust God, then we should yield our will when it's needed. And let us remember the three points that we talk about today. Number one, yielding in the waiting is acting in obedience to God. Yielding in the waiting is acting in obedience to God. Number two, the waiting is gaining the help of God. It's not losing. The yielding is gaining the help of God. It's not losing in life. And number three, yielding in the waiting is trusting in the timing of God.
Amen. You might be watching and saying to yourself, you know, I don't think I've ever truly yielded to God or surrendered my life to him or my will to his. You know, maybe you've always approached God this way. You know, God, my will be done, not your will be done, right? And so hopefully this has helped you think about, have you truly submitted and surrendered to God? Or maybe you've done it previously, but during the waiting, you stopped, right? You stopped relinquishing your life to him. Because the disciples, as they were praying with Jesus, they didn't get it right. They did not yield to God that night. But eventually they did. In fact, in Matthew 16, Jesus said these words to his disciples in verse 24 and verse 25. If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And so if you would like to yield your life to God today, I would just invite you to pray these words with me right now. God, I choose to yield my life over to you at this very moment. I recognize I need your help in the waiting, and I can't do this alone. Jesus, I thank you for yielding your life on the cross for me. And I place my trust in you as Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer right now, we just want to embrace you and congratulate you and welcome to the family of God. We're excited for you. In fact, we will also want to get to know you a little better. And so there's a Zoom meeting right after service, and we want you to click that link. You'll find it in the chat section. And so someone will be waiting for you there to answer any questions you may have about starting your new relationship with God.
Right. And also, very important, that we have small groups available for you. And what is a small group? It's a support group. It's a group with people that wants to laugh with you, cry with you, study the word together, learn together, argue together, make up together. This is really important. So we want to invite you to go onto a website and the address shown below on the screen and just look for small groups in there and join one of our small groups. We have more than 1,000 people in small groups, and we have more than 100 small groups. One of them is for you. So we want to invite you to do that. Also, we know these are very difficult times. And maybe you have a need in food. And if that is the case, we would like for you to send us an email to the email show below, which is need@sunrisechurch.org. And just email us your name, your phone number, and the need that you have, or your prayer petition. And our prayer staff, prayer group will be praying for you. And our staff will be reaching out so we could help with in any manner, in any way that is possible for us.
Yeah, and you can get prayer even now as you are watching. Just put it in the chat section or click the link. And we just want to thank you for those who've shown their generosity. It's because of you that we're able to help and provide the needs that are plentiful. If you haven't had an opportunity to give, we just want to show you how you can do that. There are a few different ways. First, go to sunrisechurch.org, click the Give tab, and you can give a one-time gift or a recurring gift and set that all up. Or you can text in your donation. Just text the amount to 84321. Thirdly, if you want to mail it to the address below, you can do that as well. Or swing by any one of our campuses from Monday through Friday from the hours 12 to 3.
And again, thank you for watching us. And remember, let's yield our will to the will of God in the waiting. Carlos, as always, a pleasure, man.
It's great. The feeling is mutual, brother.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.